And welcome back, everyone. It's Friday. This is day two of our October 2023 GF&P meeting. We're coming to you from Deadwood. Just a few things on this morning's agenda. We're going to start off this morning with two resolutions. First up, this is from yesterday's petition to allow non-resident use of hounds to hunt raccoons in South Dakota. And we have Mr. John Canta here with us. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roebling. John Canta, Terrestrial Section Chief with the Department. So, yes, as the Chair mentioned, we discussed a petition yesterday that would allow non-residents to pursue raccoons with dogs with a limit of one raccoon per hunter per day. So the Commission did reject that petition, and we've drafted a resolution. It's up on the screen here, and I think you folks have it in front of you. So what the petition speaks to is what we discussed about unnecessary regulation with that limit of one raccoon per day. It also discusses the direction that the Commission gave to the Department for staff to continue this discussion and maybe come up with a more favorable proposal for the Commission that would carry that opportunity for non-residents to hunt with dogs forward, but not include any unnecessary regulation. And so with that, I would take any questions and otherwise ask the Commission to take action on that resolution.
Any questions for Mr. Canta on the resolution or comments? Moved by Commissioner Whitmire, seconded by Commissioner Beese. All those in favor of adopting, say aye.
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 Those opposed? The resolution is adopted.
Thank you.
And next up, we'll take up our second resolution. Yesterday when we visited about Custer State Park Airport and whether or not to let the license continue.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. You know, before you, you have a resolution put together basically describing what we visited about yesterday and authorizing the Secretary to let the license expire on December 31st. We'll also need to notify DOT aeronautics staff to have the airport removed from the airport master list or record, which is a form that the FAA has. So I guess unless there's any questions, we're asking you to approve this resolution before you and ask you to do that, I guess.
We have a motion moved by Commissioner White.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Locken. All those in favor to adopt, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The resolution is adopted. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we are going to continue with our agenda information items for this morning. Number 18 on the agenda, Bighorn Sheep Action Plan. And is Chad joining us in person? Oh, here he is. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. Morning, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. Today we're going to give an update on the Bighorn Sheep Management Plan, the action plan.
Chad, could you just introduce yourself for those online?
Yeah, I'm Chad Lehman. I'm Senior Wildlife Biologist for Game, Fish, and Parks. My office is in Custer State Park, and I'm responsible for management research of big game species, bighorn sheep, mountain goats, bobcats, wild turkeys, and then a lot of the species, obviously, in Custer State Park.
Thanks.
Okay, so this is an update to a plan that was in existence for some time, and so typically when we do an update like this, we interject all of the new research, update all of the harvest information, all of that information, so that folks can see that in the plan. So before we get into that, for the benefit of the folks here in the commission, we're going to kind of provide where spatially most of our bighorn sheep herds are located at. And so we've got, obviously, the Badlands herd out here on the prairie, Deadwood, where we're at right now. We have a herd in Rapid City, Custer State Park, Hell Canyon, and then Elk Mountain. So roughly we have, you know, six metapopulations or populations of bighorns in the state. So within, obviously, any plan, we have these objectives, and we focus on the primary aspects of their ecology, which are important. And obviously with bighorn sheep, the first objective there is manage and monitor disease pathogens. As many of you know, disease is the limiting factor of bighorns across the West, so you need to mitigate diseases. And the primary pathogen we're interested in is Mycoplasma of pneumonia, which is a disease that, a bacteria pathogen that kills bighorn sheep through pneumonia. Our second objective is to monitor the status of our populations. Third objective, to biennially review and set management objectives, use the appropriate harvest strategies for each of these populations, manage, maintain, and protect bighorn sheep habitat. Obviously, without sheep habitat, we wouldn't have sheep, so that's important. And then continue to use science-based research, habitat inventories, and surveys that are important for bighorns. And then finally, there, inform and educate the public on bighorn sheep ecology management research and then the viewing opportunities. So for surveys and monitoring, we primarily use ground counts on bighorns. We've tried to develop a sightability model with helicopters, and bighorns just aren't like elk or other populations of mountain ungulates where you can count them via helicopter. They just don't like it. So we've come up with a system where we usually do ground counts, either with radial telemetry or just with minimum counts from the ground. And we collect things like minimum counts, lambda U ratios, ram to U ratios, and as I mentioned, sometimes we do have radial telemetry where we can use a mark resight estimate. So this is just a survey or a quick table here of what we've collected since 2007. And these would be the minimum ground counts. So this would be what we suspect is obviously at least what's on the ground. There's obviously more sheep in these units. And you can see in Badlands, we've had a pneumonia die-off. We went from roughly 200 sheep down to 60. We started a research study there where we're trying to study the impacts of disease on bighorns there. Custer State Park, we came out of a pneumonia die-off in 17. Where we were down to about 25 sheep. We min counted 99 last year, but we suspect we've got closer to 150 plus sheep in the park right now. Rapid City came out of a pneumonia die-off. We're coming out of it right now. We're at about 30 to 40 sheep there as a min count. Elk Mountain's been pretty stable. Last year we counted 77 sheep there. Hell Canyon's one of our bright spots right now. We've got a lot of sheep there. We min counted 69, but due to the habitat there, it's tough getting to all the places where the sheep are at. We've actually got a proposal where we're going to put 40 GPS collars on sheep there so we can get a better handle on where those sheep are pioneering to and find out some of the areas where the sheep are at there. So we're excited about that. And then Deadwood, of course, our local herd, just came out of a die-off. We suspect that hopefully we'll be in that 30 to 40 sheep range here this fall coming out of their die-off. So hopefully we're out of the woods with Deadwood. So right now, here's our current units that we have that are open. We've got Custer State Park's an open unit, the Hell Canyon unit, BH4, and then BH2, which is the Elk Mountain unit. So we currently have three units that are open. Rapid City is closed, and the Badlands unit is closed. So for a harvest strategy then, typically we have some criteria that need to be met, and three of those criteria are you need to have at least 50 sheep be observed during surveys to have a unit that's open, observe a ram to ewe ratio of 30 or more rams per 100 ewes, and observe a lamb to ewe ratio of 30 lambs per 100 ewes or more.
Chad, we have a question real quick. Commissioner White?
Yes.
Thank you, Chad. Commissioner White, this pneumonia that you're talking about, the die-off, what is the transportation or how is this transferred to the herds? Or is this something that's in the water or how do they contact this?
That's a great question, Commissioner White. I've got a slide specifically set up for that, so I'll get to it here shortly. So those are the three criteria that are really important. And even though sometimes, you know, we may not get to all the sheep, when we do a ground count, what's important are the ratios. Obviously, you want to have high lamb to ewe ratios. That shows that they're producing lambs, which is critically important for recruitment. And then, you know, you got to have enough rams in the population, obviously, to harvest enough rams. So those two things, and then the minimum number are kind of a big deal. And then generally reset our ram harvest at 10% of the available rams in the herd. That's pretty conservative. Some state agencies will go as high as 20, 25%. We keep it a little bit lower. A lot of our populations obviously are viewed by the public as well, so it's kind of a mixed bag, and that's kind of what we came out of with our stakeholder group as a percent that we thought was a good percentage for a harvest. All right, we're finally to the disease section, Commissioner White. So, as I mentioned earlier, Mycoplasma ovum pneumonia is the pathogen that we're most concerned with as scientists of bighorn sheep. This is a bacteria pathogen, and it's passed from animal to animal, typically nose-to-nose contact. It can be aerosol sprayed, so we have had instances at South Dakota State University when we had our pen trials where if you had healthy sheep downwind of sick sheep, they could get it through aerosol spray too. So just because you have a fence doesn't necessarily mean you're protected either, but typically it's nose to nose for this. And it's a bacteria that's passed through their saliva or through other contact. And so it's highly contagious among sheep, and typically it's carried by domestic sheep and goats in populations. And so a lot of times what we see happen with transfer is we will have young rams, yearling rams, that will pioneer to new areas, and they'll travel the landscape, potentially come into contact with domestic goats or sheep, and then they'll go back to the wild herd and then transfer it to the wild sheep. Now with domestic sheep, you do have a small percentage of them that do die from pneumonia from this disease. However, it's typically in the upper respiratory tract, and it doesn't go into the lung tissue and kill the domestic sheep at the same rate as it does wild sheep. So when wild sheep get it, typically you see these almost all age class die-offs, 60 to 80% of the herd will die when they get this pneumonia. So it's obviously a dramatic impact on the population. Usually we shut the harvest down, the hunting season's down until they recover. So one of the things we've done to remedy this is we've gone in with a test and remove strategy. And what that means is for instance, in Custer State Park, where we had our pneumonia die-off, we went in and tested all the animals through a swab. You can do a nose swab, get a PCR or a DNA test, sampled at a lab, determine if that animal is positive or a shedder of this disease. You can either euthanize that animal, kill it, or what we did in that instance is we took it to SDSU for testing in the pens, and they determined that that animal was indeed a shedder. So this animal still lives with the bacteria infection, doesn't die from it, but it passes it along to all the other sheep. And in Custer State Park, for instance, there was only two animals that were shedders, positive shedders. Once we got those two animals out of that population, instantly our lamb survival just rebounded. Because what happens is you're still producing all these lambs every year, but they're naive to the disease. So your lamb crop dies. So you'll only have maybe one or two lambs survive one entire lambing season. Once those shedders are out of the population, then all of your lambs survive. And bighorn sheep, the one thing about them is if they're healthy, they grow exponentially. And we went from 25 sheep in 2017 to where we're at now. We're at over 100 sheep now in Custer State Park. So we can see these populations rebound real quickly. So we've done this now in three of our herds, Custer State Park, Rapid City, and now we've just successfully done this in Deadwood here. So hopefully we're going to see these recoveries. That's the positive side of things. The negative side of it is, this is extremely time-consuming. It costs a lot of money to do all the testing and put a collar on all the animals. So it's very time-consuming and somewhat expensive. So that's the negative aspect of it. But we have shown that we can rebound these populations. Any questions on the disease stuff? I probably got too in-depth there.
I have a quick one. You had mentioned that they often will go away and get it from a domestic sheep. Are there vaccines that producers give domestic sheep to help their herds?
So the one thing that we do have a vaccine for each strain type. The problem is with these things is there's thousands of these Mycoplasma ovipneumonia DNA strain types. So for instance, when we brought the Deadwood sheep in from Canada, when we released them, we hit them with a strain type vaccine from our Rapid City herd. The problem is they're still naive to the other thousands of Mycoplasma ovipneumonia strains that are out there. So unless you can vaccinate them for all of the strain types, it's pretty much impossible to do it. Good question, though.
Is that it?
That's all I have.
Very good. Any questions or comments for Chad? Very good. Yeah, it was very informative. Thank you. Commissioner Beese.
Commissioner Beese, I keep hearing reports of a herd down there on Cheyenne River there southwest of Hot Springs. Do we go down and try to verify that herd, or what's going on there? That's the first question. And then cost. What is our cost for doing, do you know what our cost is for doing all this collaring and doing the shedder research and all that?
Yeah, great questions, Commissioner Beese. To answer your first question, yes, we do have sheep down in that country that you're talking about. Were you talking about in the southwestern portion of the Black Hills or out on the prairie? You said Cheyenne?
Cheyenne River down there west of the horse sanctuary.
Okay, yes. So I am reading what you write. Yes, we have had sheep down there that have been visually confirmed. We suspect that those sheep are probably coming out of the Pilger Mountain area, part of that Elk Mountain herd. We have gone in with staff and evaluated that as it's excellent sheep habitat, that horse trap mountain country you're talking about. The problem is the domestic sheep down there. So we've located several domestic sheep operations immediately adjacent to that herd, that potential herd. That's the limiting factor for us there that we're concerned about, obviously, you know, supplementing that herd and then being that close to those domestics.
Then what about, we used to co-op with Pine Ridge and their sheep. Are we still helping them or keeping track of that? And what's their sheep herd doing?
So another great question. They are part of the Badlands study that we're currently working on. Obviously, that population is suffering from a disease epidemic right now. We're working with Badlands National Park and OSPRA on this project as well for their disease. They also tested positive for mycoplasma in this last round of testing last winter. We anticipate we're going to go in there again with the helicopters and hopefully some ground darting this fall and do some more testing and hopefully see what the percent of the shedders are down there. And then you did have another question on
just about cost, kind of
the cost. So
the money we're putting into sheep and with all the research and collaring.
Yep. So right now, obviously we rely on collaboration with partners. For instance, in the Badlands project, they're going to provide some federal funding for that. We're currently using auction money from our auction tag to fund these projects. The Custer State Park project, just to give you a rough estimate on that project with only 25 animals, was roughly about $450,000, just to give you an estimate. So you're looking at a lot of expense, obviously, with the collars being a small portion of it. It's the testing and the helicopters. You're bringing in a helicopter at about $50,000 a pop to get these animals captured every time. So obviously that's a big part of the expense, too. But good questions.
You had mentioned when you go in and try to get a good count of what the numbers are, and Hell Canyon is a little bit rough. Do we ever or have the opportunity to use drones to go into some of these hard to get to places?
You know, that's a great question, and we've actually looked at that with our WAFA, our Western group of sheep biologists, and the problem is these things are too big to give us the amount of time we need, so they're kind of like a little helicopter, and they don't like them. Now, I think if you came up with a drone that was small enough and quiet enough, that maybe it would be like a crow or something flying around. I don't think it would bother them, but right now it's just too invasive. And sheep don't like having large things flying above them. They find the crevices and the trees and stuff, so that's why it's really hard to do a sightability model from the air on them.
Commissioner Bartling.
Commissioner Bartling, Do you have a percentage on multiple births? Are there, do the youth generally have multiple births and the survivability rate of those?
Yeah, another great question. So typically they have one lamb per ewe. Now, every once in a while you'll see a ewe throw two, but it's incredibly rare. We've only seen it a handful of times. Typically they're only producing one lamb. But their survival rate on a healthy herd is going to be in that 70-80%, which is phenomenal recruitment. You know, you compare that to elk or deer, where you might hope to get 20 to 35-40%, you know, in some of these populations. They can really grow fast when they're healthy. So
Commissioner Beast.
Are we seeing much predation from lions and coyotes on our sheep?
You know, when we had the collars in the park, we still were seeing some lion predation on some lambs and on occasion on some ewes. And I think you just kind of always steadily have that predation of lions and coyotes. Like on any other ungulate, we're going to see that. We haven't really demonstrated anything where it's been to a point where it's limiting population growth yet on any of our bighorn sheep based on some of our collar data. But yeah, there certainly is predation on the lambs and the adults.
All right, very good. Very good presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will move on to number 19, the Elk Fall Classification Survey Results. Byron Buckley, our senior wildlife